Last year's wildfire season in Arizona will always be remembered because of the tragic deaths of the Granite Mountain hotshots as they attempted to fight the Yarnell Hill Fire. But from the standpoint of how much land was lost and how many acres were burned, 2013 was not as harsh as we've gotten used to. Our drier-than-usual January and February, though, has many observers concerned about what 2014 will be like. Late last month, the Obama administration revealed a proposal that would change how fighting severe wildfires is paid for, theoretically leaving more money available to prevent fires. To get an Arizona perspective, I turn to Diane Vosick, Director of Policy and Partnerships at NAU's Ecological Restoration Institute. What do you think of the general concept the Obama administration is talking about for wildfire prevention funding?
Based on the way that we look at the need to increase prevention and treatments, it's a good approach to dealing with fire borrowing and the problems that have been created by these mega fires. In the past, as many people know, when we've had these mega fires, the Forest Service has had to borrow money from other accounts like management, like treatments, in order to pay for these mega fires. And so what's being proposed would stop that practice.
It seems like this approach would have made sense for a long time. Why do you think it's taken a while for something like this to be recognized, or at least some action to be taken at that high level?
The Forest Service has always operated a little differently. What is being proposed now, and actually the original proposal came up from Congress, a bipartisan bill that was sponsored by Senator Wyden out of Oregon. But the Forest Service has always been an agency that pays as it goes in terms of the way it works. In other words, the Forest Service used to pay for management by selling trees, and it's always had this different approach than other federal agencies, and that could be part of the reason why it's always been expected to pay for its fire suppression out of its own budget. But nobody ever envisioned that we would start seeing the kinds of fires that we're seeing with the associated costs.
Right, those mega fires, it's been described in other ways, the catastrophic wildfires. Okay, so realizing where we're at and the fact that we've had some of the worst wildfire seasons over just the past decade or so, what are the best ways to use prevention-related money?
We know, based on our own research here at the Ecological Restoration Institute, that treatments work. So in other words, when you start restoring the forest and reducing the fuel load and then do subsequent low-intensity burning, the kind of burning that used to happen for centuries, if not thousands of years before the last 150, the forest is healthier and can withstand lightning strikes and fire starts. So our treatments hold up, demonstrate that there's a way of getting past this catastrophic fire situation, which just for people that are unfamiliar with this, when we talk about catastrophic fire, we're talking about unnatural fire in these systems, fire that goes from crown, treetop to treetop and burns severely. The forests in northern Arizona are accustomed to fire, but fire on the ground. And so what we know is if you can reduce the fuels, which is the only variable we can really control in this system, mm-hmm. because there are three things that contribute to fire, an ignition source, oxygen, and fuel. The only one we can really control is the fuel. And so we know how to do that, and we need to just, in our estimation, based on the science, just be more assertive and get on it.
Well, so how much has it hurt not having more prevention money available or more money committed specifically to that? Is there more to it than just getting more funding?
Well, there is. And because we're dealing with public lands, the agency is responsible for going through an environmental review process. And that's a good thing. They have to carefully consider what it is that they intend to do in terms of reducing those fuels. So that takes time. It can take anywhere from 3 to 5 years. So that there is that issue, and many people know there have been issues of litigation and stopping this work in the past. However, those issues seem to be softening, and we seem to be able to do more work. So it comes down to, at this point, really investing more in getting the problem done. And one thing also that we did a modeling exercise last year and discovered is that you can't just treat around towns. What we discovered in the Walla Fire is that the treatments around towns were very effective in protecting those towns. But what we have now are hundreds of thousands of acres behind the towns that have too much fuel. And so in order to stop the mega fire, we really need to be smart about carefully doing treatments in the larger landscape that break up these fuels and reduce this huge dynamic catastrophic fire behavior that we see.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix, talking with Diane Vosick, Director of Policy and Partnerships at NAU's Ecological Restoration Institute. So, Diane, when we talk about the fuels being available, trying to reduce the fuels, how much responsibility should homeowners who live in the wildland-urban interface take?
Well, that is the single most important thing that a homeowner can do. And there are many things that people can do to create a more fire-resilient private property, home, whatever. I just built a home myself, and there are fire-resistant materials you can put into your construction. But even if you are in a situation with an older home, there are things like making sure there is no flammable material touching your home. Believe it or not, a lot of these fires that ignite homes come actually creeping in from the ground. They can also be ignited through embers in your gutters. So up here in northern Arizona, it's extremely important to get your pine needles out of your gutter every year when the pine needles drop.
Diane, finally, how worried are you, how worried should any of us be about the 2014 wildfire season in Arizona? How much should we be concerned about this dry January and February?
The jury's still out in terms of whether or not we'll be receiving an uptick in precipitation during April and May, which is a little bit off kilter. We, generally speaking, it's better to get a good snowpack up here in the northern part of the state for purposes of water recharge and also for the fact that snow lingers and slowly melts into the ground. So if we get a lot of rain in April and May, that can help blunt the danger of fire season, but it's interesting in that it can also contribute to increased growth in understory, which could lead to increased fuels in June. And if we have a very dry June, that's the month we generally get big fires. So the prudent thing for everybody is to be treating around their property to take their own responsibility. And then we just need to increase our investment and our activity in terms of reducing fuels across the landscape.
Diane Vosick, Director of Policy and Partnerships at NAU's Ecological Restoration Institute. Diane, thanks for the time.
You're welcome.